Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One Ep is life. Shut the fuck up, Billy June.
All right, you guys, podcast time. We got the equipment and the perfect business plan. Give our show away for free and tell no one how to find it. Ready?
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And, Syph, you sent along that clip earlier.
Yes. One of my favorite shows, Family Guy.
Did you see it? Was it on a random episode that you just saw? We're like, oh, shit, we need that.
It's an episode where they start a podcast. Thanks for the clamories.
All right, you guys, podcast time. We got the equipment and the perfect business plan. Give our show away for free and tell no one how to find it. Ready?
So I said to Syph when he sent the clip, because I love it, it sounds like the beginning of a fire old school intro where Syph, you hear that, and maybe we put a better beep at the end because it has like a little weak beep. Yeah. There's a little better beep.
Yeah, better
and
beep.
And then the beat drops in, and there's samples of years ago, One Ep is Life. Right. And so I think we need to have a... Should we have a contest for the official One Ep is Life intro?
I love that.
But I think we should actually give them something. Like, I think it should be a contest where if you get selected, it's not just we get your thing. We have to give them something.
Money?
We could give them money. We could give them...
Could we give them Uncut Gems?
Give them Uncut Gems? We could give them... You know, it could be an appearance on the show. It could be. What about lifetime free Patreon?
I like that. You get a free Patreon.
Lifetime
I got a very famous in New York T-shirt, a hoodie I could throw at you.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
By the way, man, I'll tell you what. I guess people like Sopranos because I'm looking now, and it looks like our. I mean, listen. As the month goes on, patrons go up, and then they disappear, as we know. But it looks like, Billy, am I wrong? It feels like since we had Will, it went up like a lot on the Patreon, no? Billy? Billy.
You're muted, which is perfect for me.
My internet went in and out. What did you just say? I came back and I was in the feed.
I said it looked like a lot of people signed up for Patreon to hear the second half of Will Janowitz.
A lot of people did. I was actually out last night and someone came up to me and was like, man, I fucking love One Ep. That's all I listen to.
Wow, did he mention that episode specifically?
He did, actually.
Shout out to the...
thank you.
Shout out to the Mark Ronson, bro. Mark Ronson hit me up.
Okay.
And was like, hey, I don't I don't want to sound, you know, ignorant, but what does it mean when you say, is it before or after Chamillionaire went to Brooklyn? Which is so funny because that's an offshoot of the real clip, which is years ago.
Years ago.
Years ago.
By the way, people, I've gotten that too, and it's a mix. Some people get Chamillionaire in Brooklyn before, mm-hmm. and some people don't. I think it's literally just a matter of paying. Like, did you pay attention all the way through to the beginning of years ago? Like, it was just. So most people know that it came from the Mano story where he was talking about when Chamillionaire was in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And you said, when was that? And he responded, years ago. Yeah, years ago.
This years ago.
So that people know the years ago part. Right. They may not remember
of course.
That it comes from that.
And also, that was from Juan Epp is Dead.
Wow.
That was the fourth iteration. No, wait, hold on. One, two, three. Yeah, our fourth iteration of One Up.
Billy, will you email me the clip for years ago, the full clip?
I just texted it to you.
Perfect. Thank you. No, that's fine. Text is fine. I'll put it in the thing from there.
I sent that receipt to Mark Ronson so he could understand what it meant.
Oh, you did? Anyway. Oh, this is what you sent to Mark so he would.
Anyway, people here, let's, is what I'm saying. Thank you.
Hold on.
Thank
I want to hear
liking us. Oh, please.
Years ago, I did a video in my neighborhood in Brooklyn. I brought Chamillionaire. Remember Chamillionaire?
Yeah.
Years ago, I brought Chamillionaire to Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Years ago. This was years ago. I didn't have.
How long? Was it years ago?
How was it? It was years ago, I'm feeling.
This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
I'd say probably around years ago.
Probably around years ago, right? Because I didn't have no hit. Yet.
Still
I
funny,
have,
man.
I hated none of that.
Oh, wow.
One of his.
Yo, still hearing funny, it, hearing it now, it's even crazier than the first time I heard it. He really says it so many times with no idea that he's saying it a lot of times.
This was years ago. Years ago.
He literally just keeps saying, yo, this was years ago, not years ago. And you and I are both on Zoom and at the exact same moment thinking, man, he sure keeps saying years ago.
But it's like, it's our radio ears that are trained to find moments, to find snippets. You know what I mean? That's so funny.
It's so funny. And he doesn't even really notice that it's anything until we point it out. And I still can't even tell if he fully knows.
I don't think he ever noticed. Billy, what's the name of the podcast that you like?
All Fantasy Everything.
All Fantasy Everything. I know I'm in Denver, Colorado right now. As you can see, I'm in some kind of jail cell, as it looks like from the video.
By the way, you're recording your own audio as well because you're starting to break up a bit. I'm just making sure you're recording there.
I am.
Okay, good.
I am. Shout to David Borey from All Fantasy Everything Podcast. And shout to my man, Brent Gill. I did a show with them on Friday. Very fun. Then I did another show last night.
Okay.
This show was in a fucking... I want to say a church basement. But it felt like the church was like one of those kind of weird, like non-denomination type. It was like called like a spiritual center.
Okay.
And the show was in a basement and it was fucking phenomenal, man. The show was so
really?
Fun. Every comic on there was good. And then they had me as a secret headliner. Because the guy who books me on Friday, he brought me into town. So he said, Sive, you could do the show Saturday, but they can't promote you until after our show's done. So they were promoting me as a secret headliner.
Okay.
And I go on stage and I go, man, everybody was so excited about the secret headliner. They're like, who is it? Who is it? And then I come on stage and you're like, who is he? Who is he?
Bro, that's a tough spot coming in as the secret headliner because that does sound lofty.
Yeah, it's so. But
who's it going to be? Dave Chappelle?
It was
Chris Rock.
Awesome, man. Denver's wow. Comedy Scene. And then in between the shows last night, I ran over to Comedy Works, which is the comedy club out here. It's the best, one of the best comedy clubs in the country. And Ari Shaffir was there, so he said I could do a guest spot. Bro, I run in there. I do 10 minutes of fucking fire. Like, that crowd in there is too good. It's too good.
What do you mean too good? They're just on fire?
Yo, they love comedy. That club has the audience trained. Like, it weeds out people that kind of just stop by. Like, everyone in there is a fucking comedy fan. You know what I mean? And I ran in there, did 10 minutes, then I ran back to this other show. So I'm having a hell of a time out here in Denver.
I'm so glad to hear that.
I'm bumping into a lot of 1UP fans, man.
Is that true?
A lot of 1UP. There's a kid, I forgot. His name is John Davis. He's a comic, but he's also on the radio out here. I think he does sports talk radio.
Okay.
And he came up to me last night. He goes, yo, you have no idea how excited I was about someone doing an in-depth interview with cannabis. He's like, why has it never been done? He goes, it was the perfect 1UP interview. It was funny, emotional, sad, riveting. Like, he loved it.
You know, it's funny. I felt really strongly about the cannabis too, and I don't get a lot of feedback on 1UP, so I basically just see the 7 people who are regular in the Discord. It's basically like Big Homie. There's like Billy June could name all of them. There's literally 5 people who just are the only ones who talk in our Discord. And so if one of them is like, yeah, I wasn't interested in cannabis, I didn't listen, I'm like, all right, well, boom, we lost 20% of our audience in my eyes. And then the next person's like, yeah, his answers were kind of long. I was like, okay, I understand that. But that really was a deep interview. And then I probably saw more positive feedback about last week's Sopranos episode than any in a minute. It made me think we should do more.
Is it just me, Pete, when you read it, the Discord? Or like, are there certain people on there that complain so much that you wonder to yourself, why do you pay to listen every week?
Pay and participate on the message board.
And just complain while they're...
Some people have like a self-hatred. You know what I mean? And they want to feel bad all the time.
Well, or it's maybe like a sense of, I don't know, a way to feel like you belong.
Yeah.
But there are some people who regularly just are like, yeah, skip that one. No thanks, I'm good.
Sometimes I want to be like, how about write something positive?
Like, it's
wild. You're here.
What's going on in hip hop this week? Sorry, I have COVID.
Oh, in hip hop this week, well, Scythe, there's a lot for us to talk about before we. First of all, important question for us to figure out right now early.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Kanye doc?
Oh, Kanye has a doc?
He does. Scythe's being sarcastic because I texted him 5 times and told him to watch it.
I watched it.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to talk about that for sure. And that actually inspired me because I felt like a dickhead because of how psyched I was about the Kanye doc. I felt like a dickhead that I hadn't watched the Ralph doc, so I watched that too.
The what?
The Ralph doc.
What's the Ralph doc?
The Video Music Box doc.
Oh, fuck, yeah. I haven't seen any of those.
See? And that made me feel like shit. That I'm like, I'm such a...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm such a slave to like what's popular and marketing that I just like... was so amped off the Kanye thing, and I didn't do the same for Video Music Box.
The only thing is I don't have Showtime anymore. It's a little harder to watch the Mass Appeal stuff because they have a deal with Showtime. Also, isn't there like a Kid Cudi doc out? Or is it coming out?
That's on Amazon.
Yeah, that's up too.
Yeah. Also, there's a really good doc on Amazon Prime. The Fat Tuesdays.
I heard Fat Tuesdays is good too.
It's really, really good.
I heard Fat Tuesdays is really good.
What's that about?
It's about the black comedy scene in the 90s, like where the Def Comedy Jam comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Like that scene.
Oh, yeah.
Where all those
I did
comics
hear about that.
Had to kind of just create their own lane and create this whole black circuit in those early days. And one of those shows, I think Joe Torre hosted it in L.A.
Yep.
It was supposed, to be really good. Yeah, I want to watch that too.
I heard about that as well.
I just watched the DMX one, which was okay.
Oh, I loved the DMX one. I thought the end was so great. That last scene with his family, where he's dancing with his ex.
I mean, I like docs like that because it shows the last days, but I also want to see all the fucking, the early days, you know?
You would have liked to see, so you would have wanted, because that doc, if you haven't seen the DMX one, that doc takes place from the second he got out of jail
the last time. Right, and then
and they show some flashback footage, but it's not constant.
No, it's more about after jail trying to get this new album done.
But those last couple scenes, the one where he's outside the Dave and Buster's with his son.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And they have their moment, and then he go back to the house, and it's X. He's there with his new wife, I think. His ex.
Was she there? Yeah.
I think she was there. I think, because I talked to the director, and he told us that I think she was there. His ex and his children that he has with his ex.
Yeah.
And they have this moment of like singing and dancing together.
Dancing to like classic R&B. But that's not the baby mom that he said was stressing him, because she seemed like she loved him. I think it's another baby mom that's stressing him.
No, that mom that he was dancing with is the mother of the son who has the strained relationship with.
That's his first wife or first baby. Yeah.
And they're cool, it looked like. It was the son that he had the issues with.
No, but in the doc, he says, my baby mama's stressing me. And she got half my publishing, and she's still stressing me.
But I don't think everybody's talking about the good
old days. I think it's a different one.
Yes, I agree.
Bro, and I'm going to tell you another part that's so ill in that doc. When he snatches the phone from his little son, like, the son is like a baby.
Yeah.
It's just a dad moment of, like, these kids.
Oh,
like,
yeah, and the son starts crying, right?
Yeah, man, it's a fucking, like, it won't hit you unless you have kids, where, like, you love your kids so much, but sometimes they fucking annoy you. I don't talk to my kids the way he talked to his son, but it's just annoying sometimes, man.
And then the kid starts crying, and he hugs him, and he, like, makes him feel better, but.
Oh, my son got this new thing. My son got this thing. If I make him mad, I don't know where this comes from.
Okay.
My son goes, I go, yo, eat your food, or I'm going to turn off your iPad or whatever. And he goes, I'm not going to go in your car.
I'm not going to go in your car?
Yo, he's trying to hurt me. He's saying something that he thinks is important. I'm not going to go in your car. It's so funny. I want to laugh in his face.
Well, it's amazing when kids come up with these random things they say, and you're like, what was the formulation?
I don't know where he got that from.
It's like little kids under the age of like 5. It's like a lot of times they're thinking in what sounds like what feels like a fever dream. Like nothing makes sense.
Exactly.
It's just like a piece of this, a piece of that, and it comes together into a thing that you would say when you're half asleep, and then you're like, oh, what did I just say? I was out of it. Sorry.
Oh man. Anyway, so yeah. So, what? So besides Kanye, you had.
Yes. So I went out this
week.
I went outside, Saif.
Yeah.
I went outside.
Oh, I saw you were outside. Congratulations.
Saw that. Thank you. I went outside. I went outside. I went to the Action Bronson Earl Sweatshirt Boldy James Alchemist show.
Oh, that's what that was.
I went to that, and that was the same night as the Conway listening / birthday party. Right?
Is it a new album?
And yes, new Conway. It's the Conway Shady album finally coming out.
Oh, right. Got it.
So I went to that. So when I saw they were both happening the same night, I said, you know what?
The only way you'd go to two things.
Exactly. So I said, I go one night and I get to like show face and support to a whole bunch of different people
Double whammy.
So how about this? Called up Hip Hop Mike.
Saw that.
Mike hasn't, we haven't went out together in, I'm talking about years ago.
How long?
Years ago.
How long ago? Okay, years ago.
So it's literally, we probably haven't had a night out since, yeah, since, but well, you know, pretty good before COVID.
Since Hip Hop Mike Gate?
Since Hip Hop Mike Gate. Certainly not since then. So we, Mike picked me up. We went out, went to the first joint, saw Alchemist and all the artists on the show who I just mentioned. I met this kid, Navy Blue, who I'm a fan of, who I'd never met before. I saw about Premier was out, Joey Badass, Chuck Strangers. Dope. Really good to see a lot of people were out, obviously, for that show. Man, Boldy's good, bro. Boldy's really dope.
Boldy's, I don't know if you listen.
Yeah. I don't know if you've listened to Boldy recently, but the Boldy and Al shit is, woof.
Yeah.
Then went over to the Conway joint, which was at Soho House. Ooh, and listen.
Soho House, nice.
If you're going to go out, you might as well go out and just throw yourself into, I was talking to Rory about it afterwards, just hot Buffalo filth. Just throw yourself right out there. Because that was a small room.
I like those
room.
Guys, man.
No, it was great.
I love those guys.
Shout out to all the Griselda associates who I ran into, including one cat who's a big Juan App fan. He told me since years ago.
Tall guy?
Hold on. He texted me. I gave him my number. Well, you think you met him too?
Yeah, I think I met him in Denver when I was here interviewing Benny the Butcher. I met this guy, was a Juan App fan.
I wonder if it's the same guy. That's right, because now that you're saying that, that's mad familiar.
Yeah.
He's
somebody's brother. He's like one of the rappers that's down with Griselda's brother.
Gotta tell you, I really do like everyone I run into, though,
They show love, man. They show OG love. It's really cool.
I saw DJ Clue.
He was
out.
Which one? The Griselda one?
He was at the Griselda joint. By the way, we gotta just have Clue on, right?
Yeah, we should have been had Clue on.
I said to Clue, I'm like, bro, you think anyone would still care? He was like, maybe on your side. I was like, I don't really think so. I was like, it's not like upper management. It's not like the current upper management that I have. They haven't even been around long enough to understand.
You talking about having him on 1UP because of Hot 97 Power 105 shit?
Yeah.
Nah, man. Nah.
What about Flex? Flex wouldn't care either?
I'd run it past Flex.
Okay, that's a good idea. Boom.
I'd run it past.
Run it past.
I ask for permission and say, hey, Flex, we're going to have Clue on. You know, not saying nothing about your drama, whatever, but.
Right. I posted the picture, and I knew, I was like, I posted the picture.
I see Camilo with, what's his name?
Yes.
Self all the time. Like, I think that shit's
Yeah. Old. It feels like it. Sife, the kid who from Buffalo was Billy Esco.
I don't remember his name, but I think that was him.
He said, true Juan Epper.
Love it.
Nice guy.
So, you know why they're all so nice? Because at any moment, they will tear our fucking heads off.
It's true.
And when you have that skill set, and when you have that... confidence. They're like, yo, if anybody says the wrong thing, I could tear their head off. Why not be nice?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's like, I was just going to go with, they're from Buffalo. They haven't had a lot of, you know, expectations, and now things are great, and bro, they're appreciative.
I told you, the way I met West Side Gunn, I was in Buffalo doing a comedy show before the pandemic. I saw some high school kids walking down the street, and I taped them from my hotel window and played Griselda. And I was like, yeah, future goons or whatever. And Westside hit me up laughing and was like, yo, you in Buffalo, you need anything. I'm like, this is
right.
Awesome, man.
Nah, they're great, man. Shout out to Conway's entire team. I actually didn't even see Gunn and Benny that night.
Wait, were they there?
I hung out for a while till Conway got there. I saw Conway and then I bounced.
Right.
I don't know when they got there.
How long were you there before you bounced? How much after did he show up after you?
I would say I was there for a full hour.
Ooh. So you did a...
I would say.
That's not even... You did a couple laps.
Oh, well, I didn't really do a lap. I just posted. I kind of just stayed... But I was posted near the DJ. So, like, everyone kind of would come by over that way.
Smart.
At least... by the way, very funny moment. I ran into Rory and Maul. They were both there. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I'd met Maul before. But me and Rory caught up for a little while. And, you know, Rory's been a supporter of YNAP for a long time. And sometimes someone will say something and you realize, wow, this person really knows me. I said to him, I was like, hey, I was like, oh, man, is Conway here yet? I need to get credit for being here. And Rory went, you want credit? No. I was like, hey, man, fuck you, man. Don't appreciate you knowing this real flaw about me so well.
Oh, shit.
And then I ran into B-Dot.
B-Dot.
And who I used to...
B-Dot, yeah. That's
Elliot's guy.
Right, okay.
Yep. Who I've like long had back and forth feuds with.
Yeah.
And he walked in the bathroom as me and Hip Hop Mike were walking out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I just see him, and I've been so long since I've been out that seeing anyone I know, my immediate response when I saw him was not one of like, I remember what I'm mad at this person about. It was just like, oh, there's B-Dot. Some guy who loves hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't have any thought. So I'm just like, yo, what up, man? And he responds. He walks by and he responds. When I say, what up, man? He responds. He goes, you know, living la vida loca.
Okay.
And I said, yo, I can't even accuse you of being generic because I have not heard a living la vida loca in a long, long time. But I love it. I love it. And I feel like this should become a one-up thing. So then the next day I sent him an email and was just like, yo, bro, I don't even know what happened between us, but I'm sure I was a dick and I'm sorry.
Nice.
And he said, water under the bridge. That was that. I was like, bro, why would I hate on B-Dot? Sure, me and B-Dot never got along. I'm sure we were both obnoxious at different times. But with the way hip-hop has gone and the voices that exist now, I could say a lot about Brian Miller, but like him not loving hip hop is not something I would ever say. Like he loves it, cares about it, is a nerd about it, is committed to it. Like, why would I have issues with someone? He's one of us.
I don't like why, the it's way I saw him do an interview with Mano. I didn't like the way he was talking to Mano. It bothered me.
Oh yeah, you mentioned this once on the podcast. Now, do you think you guys should have a sit down as well?
Nah, I don't care. He doesn't care what I think. I don't care. I don't like that Academics guy either. He seems...
No, he's not good. He's not good.
He's grimy.
All right, now speaking of which, so I have one other thing to talk about that happened this week.
I'm talking about... No one's going to care, but I'm not talking about... I don't know these people personally. I just don't like the angle in which they go at
I hate the Academics angle. I don't feel the need to have any beef with Academics. I don't feel the need to have beef with anyone anymore. And I've definitely been way over the top many times about him. But no, it comes from sincere lack of appreciation for what he does. Like, it's actually crazy. And it's full circle. It comes full circle to the story I'm about to tell you.
Perfect.
The reason Academics bothers me a lot is I think because I so often get called culture vulture. Mm-hmm. And I'm very sensitive to it.
Yeah.
But then there are other people who literally are doing, when you think about what that means, yeah, like an actual term, they're doing that, but they don't get called that because we look differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're racially of the culture, yeah, they can get away with it. And so I guess I get very sensitive to that when I see like someone who just sells and trades on sort of beef and bullshit, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, so this week what happened was I saw that Fuzzy and Q and Quincy, who do a podcast, two guys who Syph and I have known from the radio business for a long time. Fuzzy and Quincy started a podcast together. It looks very cool. Looks like they're doing a lot of...
FAQ, I think it's called.
FAQ, yep. And they're doing a lot of interviews. And I saw they interviewed this dude, Jason Lee.
Jason Lee.
Jason Lee runs a website called... Hollywood Unlocked. As far as I can tell, to me, he looks like his trajectory is to become like the next Harvey Levin or something like that, right?
That's TMZ.
And to be honest, he seems driven and smart enough that like he could do that. Right. Like I think he could actually pull it off.
The quote unquote younger version.
Yeah.
Because everything has got the younger version. What does Billy say?
Yeah, he's young, he's black, he's openly gay, he's got a very brash personality. You know, he's an interesting dude, there's no doubt. So he came on our show. So let me just say this. Fuzzy and Q posted interview clips with him. And I, in a moment of weakness, because he has said nasty shit about me a bunch of times, ooh, I ended up commenting like...
Ooh, that guy Jason?
Yes.
Okay.
I ended up commenting on their video like, yo, why do you guys even have it? This is corny. Why do you have him? This is corny shit. Something like that. He has no qualms about saying whatever about people. This is corny. Jason Lee sees that. Screenshots it,
yeah.
Posts on his page like six different times about it, going off on me.
Oh, nice.
Why is this guy in the culture? Why is he allowed? Is he in here? Culture vulture, culture white vulture. Boy. Every.
Uh-oh, he controls the weather.
So now it's like he's going crazy on the shit.
Yeah.
And I thought about it, and then the next day I see Nori post, anybody have questions for Jason Lee? I'm like, oh God, now this guy's gonna go on Drink Champs the same week. So I talked to Nori yesterday, and apparently in the interview it came up. He did say nasty shit. Then him and EFN said that they love me, Nori made it sound like it ended up okay. Right. But I then hit Nori and said, why don't you get me and him on the line, bro? Because I was thinking about it like this. I realized this, Ivan, I think you'd appreciate this. And my therapist kind of helped me realize this. An issue with someone is all about where you want to start the story. Because if you start the story this week, he told them that I started shit for no reason. And boom, if you start the story this week, you are correct. For no reason, I saw him posted and talking shit. That if you start the story this week,
right?
If you start the story 2 months ago, I would say someone sent me a clip of him talking about some topic. I don't even remember what. I came up and he called me all kinds of nasty culture vulture shit that really hits me in like the sensitive spot.
Right.
So I would say that what I said this week was not for no reason.
Right.
It was out of anger. And hurt because someone said some shit to me that I don't like when people say it. So the thing that I want to ask him is, where I'm starting the story not early enough? Do we need to go back to the interview when he came into hot? And did I say something that day that led to when he left, he felt like he had to talk shit about me whenever my name came up? Because to me, it seemed like we had you on the show, then my name comes up and you talk crazy about me. Yeah. You're an asshole. You're a bad guy. But maybe his version of it is, I said something in that interview, which it's possible, he took as really offensive or dickish or whatever.
Right, right. And you want to get to the bottom of it?
Yeah, first of all, I don't want to have beef with anyone, let alone, like I said, he's someone who I think is clearly on the rise. His voice is only going to get bigger. I don't need him hating me over what? Because essentially I'm just mad that I was just offended. I don't understand why people who are go default into this culture vulture shit. It's so lazy and inaccurate and fucked up.
So if he has beef with you because of something you said and he's using culture vulture as a crutch, that's some bullshit. But what if he can legitimately list some things that he actually thinks?
Correct. Then we could have a conversation
then we
about
have the
that.
Convo. Let's have the convo.
That's what I'm saying. So if you believe that I'm a culture vulture, I shouldn't have a voice anymore. If you believe there's more to that than the color of my skin and my age, you know, like I would need something beyond you're old and white. Like I don't consider that to be a reason to not be able to talk.
I mean, I guess I can understand why people would say that about you. just not knowing, but like I don't understand how
he. But he doesn't know what I do. There's no way he knows I even. He doesn't know I have a Sunday night show. Yeah, he doesn't know I put on an album. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't know any of the work that I've done for artists their whole career and stayed close with them and pushed them along and helped put money in their pockets.
Girl,
he doesn't know.
What's the girl that's on your album that you like?
Vel the Wonder.
He has no idea that you stole her all her publishing.
Oh yeah.
Oh fuck. Shit.
Wait, Sife. Shut the.
What the? Oh fuck.
Yeah, he doesn't know that I took money off the top from my deal with West Side Gun. By the way, these are all jokes, everyone. All jokes. No, but he does it. He doesn't know. There's no. You think he's aware of my relationship with Homeboy Sandman? Right. Like, he doesn't know shit.
They don't know shit.
So
he knows
I can't.
From the morning show.
So he thinks. I think my guess is I probably referred to his shit as gossip or something on our show. And he probably feels like, who the fuck are you to say that when that's what you do on your morning show? Which, by the way. It's a reasonable conversation. If you were to think that's all I do,
yeah,
is I get on the air and talk about whatever stories Laura brings up, yeah, I that makes sense.
Yeah.
We could have a conversation. So I hope we can have a conversation, but we'll see.
Bring him on the podcast.
Nori ended up never hitting me. What'd you say?
Bring him on the podcast.
I asked him, I said, do you want to come on mine? He said, no, he wants me to go on his.
Oh, can we do a simulcast? Do we have the technology? Play that clip. Do we have the technology to do a simulcast with him?
Billy can handle a simulcast. Anyway, so hopefully we figure that all out. And by the way, I want to talk to him. I want to talk to him before the Drink Champs airs. Because when the Drink Champs airs, I'm going to get tight again.
Yeah.
So we should talk now. So I don't see you fucking go in on me on Thursday or whatever their shit comes out.
Let me know if you want me to mediate that. But nobody would. Nobody would believe I'd be a good mediator.
You couldn't be an honest broker.
I absolutely could. I hate you.
I believe.
I don't like you personally at all.
I believe you could. Listen, or I could get Ebro to be the broker, and then he would just turn into an entire thing about himself. He'd be like, no, but forget about Rosenberg. What about me and you? I'm like, well, what? Wait. Why remove Rosenberg from it? Because no one cares. Talk about me. But it was actually specifically about him. Don't worry about it. So, Sif, it's about that time.
Okay, what time is it? It's time for lunch. What time is it? It's time for lunch. Do you watch Bubble Guppies?
Bubble Guppies?
You don't watch Bubble Guppies?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Do you watch Paw Patrol?
No.
What? Oh, fuck, man. You don't watch Bluey?
Bluey?
Yeah, the Australian.
Are these all kid shows?
You don't watch Blippi?
What's Blippi?
Oh, Blippi is a fucking, looks like a, Blippi definitely looks like a child molester just gaining the confidence of children to later molest.
So these are definitely kid shows.
Yeah.
And you watch some of these and you're thinking, oh my God, this is actually repug.
Can't believe you don't watch Paw Patrol. Paw Patrol.
So Cypher.
Yeah. Here we go.
You watched?
I watched. I fucking loved it and hated it.
Ooh.
Loved it and hated it.
Do you want to, should we, real quick, I'm going to send my dad the link to, do you think my dad can figure out how to join the StreamYard?
Why is your dad coming on here?
Because my dad, out of the blue, loved this documentary.
Well, give me a minute before you bring your dad in.
Okay.
So here's what I liked about it. Oh, we'll go deeper. I'm just tell you overall. What I liked about it was a lot of raw footage in chronological order.
Okay.
Which I feel documentary filmmakers do too much sometimes. Like I don't know anything about Michael Jordan, but I watched some of The Last Dance, right? And if I'm not a Michael Jordan fanatic, like I'm sure a lot of people are, the moving back and forth from years to years, the first game to the last game to the when he had the flu to when he broke his ankle, you know what I mean? Like, it's too much for me because I'm not a fanatic. So it's moving around a lot. And I feel that a lot of documentaries, and rightfully so, have to make a great piece of a film, of cinema.
Okay.
And I like that there was no talking heads in the Kanye shit. Mm-hmm. I like that it was in chronological order from what we remember when he first came around to, you know, following it, how he got the deal, how he tried to get the deal, how he got the deal, his mom, all that shit, and all old footage and him struggling, and I fucking loved it. Now, it's funny how it's like the guy who made it is like a weird voiceover on it, but I want to see long pieces of footage. I want to see, bro. You know how many people I knew in that documentary, and you know how many you know how many places they were at that I was like, oh my god, I used to be there all the time. Like when he was talking to that Raucous A&R, and you see the sign for Transit behind, was one of my favorite stores back in the day.
Oh, I love Transit.
Like Transit was in the background, and then like going to Right Track Studio, which I always used to be in there. I loved all that lengthy footage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I have a lot to ask you. What didn't you like essentially? Like what's the drawback to you?
I think I would have liked more Kanye now speaking about it, but not too much, because sometimes people do it too much. But I could have used a little Kanye talking about it. You know what I mean?
Like a little, like he provides more context.
Yeah, or.
But don't you feel like having Kanye today would inherently cloud the legitimacy of what you're seeing?
That's why, on the other hand, I wouldn't want it. You know what I mean? And I don't want a bunch of people that were there telling story. I like the way it was done. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hey, Dad.
Hello.
Wow, you did it. You pulled it off. You managed to.
That wasn't very hard.
Tell him to turn his
phone. Turn your phone sideways. Try turning your phone sideways.
Oh, sideways.
See?
That better?
Yeah, wow.
Look at that.
Wow, you did it. You really did it.
I really did it.
So I was just talking to Sife about the doc. Tell me why you were so into this Kanye documentary, because I didn't necessarily expect to hear that from you.
Well, okay. So all I know about, I know some of his music, but not much. The last one I ever listened to was the Jesus song.
That's a long time ago.
There's also a lot of Jesus songs.
And that record that it was on, you know. And I follow his political stuff and all that other stuff and the stuff with his ex-wife or current wife. And of course, with Peter's interest being, unlike wrestling, and actually unlike sports, of Peter's three things, the only one I'm really remotely interested in is the music one. I mean, that, you know.
Well, you find the people more interesting.
The people more interesting, and actually what they do more interesting. I mean,
right.
In the sense of, you know, So it's, we have to fake it with the other stuff.
But you don't even fake it. You don't even fake it that well, but keep going.
So anyway, what I like about the film, what I liked most was seeing him as a young kind of, to me, because I don't know how much is artifice and how much is real. To me, it seems real. A young kind of innocent guy with incredible self-confidence who is just going to push through, knows how much talent he has, knows that, you know, as Don just said, he may not see the giant in the mirror, but everybody else sees it. I thought that was so...
Yeah, it's a great
line. I don't know if she made up that line.
I know.
I mean, it's just so great. In fact, I'd rather see a documentary on Donda West, who I think is the most incredible. I wrote about her when she died.
I remember that. When I saw her in the doc, I realized I've never seen her before.
Yeah,
as much as that we've heard about her through all the years of Kanye records and interviews, I never saw her.
Right. And she's more appealing than I even would have imagined. She is such a great lady. And she's, I kind of made the comparison with another crazy artist, Elvis Presley, who also had the mother, and whose mother's death caused him to go off the rails. And in the case of Elvis,
I didn't know that.
To go back on the rails. She died at 42. But the big difference, and I know that from reading the big Elvis biography. Who wrote that, Peter?
The big Elvis biography?
Yeah, the major one. You read it too.
Was it Muddy Waters? Oh, no, he's the one that wrote the song.
No, it's a two-volume biography.
Do you mean not Last Train to Memphis?
Probably.
The Rise of Elvis Presley by Peter Guralnick?
That's it, yeah.
Okay.
Well, his mother died at 42, but he was already famous, but her dealing, he bought her a big house and pink Cadillacs and all that, but her whole reaction to his fame was worrying about him. So in other words, she didn't get into it. She didn't sing. You wouldn't see clips of her singing Hound Dog because she just thought that this fame thing was terrifying, and she hated it. All she wanted was her boy. Now, with Donda West, you see how invested she is in his career, not because she wants him to be rich and famous.
Because it's what he wants. Because she knows it's what he wants.
He wants.
Yo, when she started spitting his verse, one of his old verses, that was crazy.
That was so great.
Yeah, that was nuts. I love how that the footage with her was like so extended. It's just nothing meandering in the apartment. But usually documentaries take one little snippet and make it a couple snippets, but they just had a conversation with them.
Right. They let the whole thing play out like an actual home video. Yeah. And I actually found I was charmed by even him just opening the fridge and seeing the empty fridge and saying, "Wow, look at my mom's bachelorette pad."
I'm gonna tell you the illest part I love when he knocks on the door and he goes, "Ma, I got company."
Exactly. Like he was warning her. He was bringing in his friend. But she actually, I have to say, she reminds me of Peter's mom, the way she talked to his friends.
Right.
Like, Peter always had mobs of friends.
Strong.
Yeah.
Dad, you have spit on your lip, Dad. Wipe your lip.
Oh, sorry. He had lots of friends who would come over, and she was always that welcoming. Of course, then they all went to talk to me. But anyway.
Go ahead, sorry, Dad.
A trajectory with Rockefeller and how he's been, and the rejection. Now, Peter tells me that he was a real nudge when it came to these, the movie gives you the doc gives you the impression that there's just one day and he goes over there and he's bothering.
I was at Sife. I explained to my dad that moment where you feel sad for him because in the Rockefeller office they're ignoring him. I was saying he did that constantly though. Yeah. And Sife, wasn't that your experience too? Was always what he was doing?
Did it constantly, but also, they made it look a little dramatic because, back in those days, we weren't used to a camera being in our face like we are nowadays.
Right.
So Shaka and Colleen, were both like, "Hey, we're not the A&Rs here. We have work to do."
But how clever was it that in a time when people were not used to being on camera, he agrees to have his buddy film him. So every time people are seeing him, there's someone filming him. Now, in those days, that was not now.
I thought it's funny that we never heard of this footage before.
Do you remember camera guys being around with him?
No. That's why I was like, I wonder if I'll be in this with my Kanye Ruckus story. But he was by himself that day.
He didn't always have the camera guy with him.
Not that I remember back then. And also,
too bad for you.
I really knew him. I really met him more after the accident.
So we'll get to the accident. Will be in the next episode.
Did you get to be friends with him, or just you knew him?
No, I wouldn't say friends. To this day, when he sees me, he shows me love, but I wouldn't say we became friends.
Sife, tell us the story of, because you've said it before, but it's been not since years ago.
3 years ago.
Tell the story of the raucous, of sound bombing and him wanting to get on it.
I did an album. Like, they mentioned it, like, he was down. I met Kanye through Mos and Quali.
Who were on Raucous, yep.
Because they were, they respected him as a rapper and were trying to get him more in the rap game as opposed to just being a producer. And everybody, we all used to call him Kane West because we didn't know it was Kanye at the time. And,
oh, yeah, Dad, you should know that. That was a thing. Nick and I were talking about it yesterday. That was a thing. Several of his early records accidentally said Kane West instead of Kanye.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Yes. Yeah. That was a thing. People thought his name was Kane West.
Or if you just see it quickly, even if the Y was in it, it just looked like...
Right. Even if it's right, you still read it Kane West at first.
Well, it's funny because now they call that... Okay, so calling him Kane, but it's so clear that the people who know him, including his mother, call him Kanye. They emphasize the yay, whereas, you know, it's interesting now that he has now adopted the name Yay.
Well, yeah, because
that's the part that's really emphasized.
Yeah, we call him, we say Kanye.
Yes.
Where we could hear his mom saying Kanye.
Yes.
It's a bit of a different, exactly.
What do you call that? A different
emphasis.
Yeah.
A different emphasis that it's a cooler emphasis. It's a more exotic emphasis. You know, it's sort of like,
But he says Kanye in the records.
Oh, he does?
Huh. Yeah, all his songs he says Kanye. And then his mom says Kanye. I think she's saying it the more African.
But now he's Ye.
Now he's Ye, yeah.
And now he's Ye. All right, so Sife, keep going. So,
yeah,
so you're working on this.
On Raucous Records, sound bombing. And the album was done. We were mixing it. And the guy who owns Raucous Records is like, hey, Kanye's going to come by. He's trying to get on the album. We don't have any room for him. And I was like, okay, why don't you just tell him no? And they're like, put it on me. And he comes to the studio in Jersey. And he's like, yo, I'm trying to get on this album. I'm like, bro, it's already mixed. We already pressed the songs on vinyl. We're literally mixing the vinyl to make a mixtape album. And he's like, let me just spit a cappella in the beginning. And I was like, oh, God, no, man, no. I'm not going to let you spit a cappella because all I know you for is being this dope beat maker. So if we can't even get one of your beats, what are we doing this for?
Right.
And also, you know, I'm an idiot.
Right, because you got it wrong.
I'm a fucking idiot.
But how would you know? But you wouldn't.
You know
have
what?
Known.
You know what? I should have just let him spit, even if I didn't put it on the album. Always, always record it. Always let them spit. Always get it. Imagine if I had that acapella now, I'd be the man.
Yeah.
Right. For doing nothing more than letting him do what he wanted to do and not using it.
And like, who am I to shut people down, man? I hate when people shut me down. I could have. It was nothing to just record it. You know.
But it's funny because his memories, when he came on our podcast and he told the story of Raucous, he doesn't have any memory, it seemed like, of you shutting him down. His memories were about Jared and Brian.
He didn't know who I was at that time. I didn't even get cool with him until way after that. At that time, I don't even think he remembers it was me. You know what I mean?
What year are you talking about?
Ooh, this is...
2003?
Maybe 2002?
That's a long time ago.
Soundbox.
Wow. Well, 02 is where, I think 02 is where this first episode ended, is in 2002, because they showed the song, Sy, if you remember, they showed the Scarface record, the Guess Who's Back record, and that's 02.
Sy should write a book about all this. Sy is young, but he should write his memoirs.
Oh, my God.
Sy has a lot of memoirs.
The release date, I got so many. The release date was... June 2002. So let's say it was 3 months before that. You know what I mean?
Wow, that's by the time it released 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago, man. I was young boy.
You should write an oral history or something. I mean,
that sounds weird.
Because otherwise, these things just disappear.
I know they do.
Eventually, eventually you forget them. And you have to have other people saying, remember that time? And I'm saying, that never happened.
There was
by the way, that already happens.
There's a reggae artist named DeMarco. He's pretty big. And this security guard at the comedy club I work at goes, yo, I was listening to this DeMarco interview. He gave you this big ass shout out. So I was like, really? Why? And he said, oh, he told a story about you and you did this and that. I did not remember at all. I went and listened to the interview. I listened to the interview. I was like, holy shit, I did do all of those things for this guy.
Wow.
I was like, yo, he used to pick me up in Jersey. He used to take me to Club Speed. He used to play my freestyles on the radio. And I'm like, wow, all the people I give, you know, say I broke, I forgot about him.
Right, right. But you shouldn't. I mean,
wow.
And the thing is about these videos, of course, it's so easy in retrospect to know. It's sort of, you know, if you're like, I can't remember. I once sat in a luncheonette and I was sitting with this beautiful blonde girl. Turned out she was Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
She wanted to talk. I only wanted to talk to her for 5 minutes. The next thing I know, she's Marilyn Monroe. How does anyone, I mean, you just don't know. You just don't know. And it always be, but it's always great to have as memories, if nothing else, as long as you can keep, we're young guys, you can keep your
memories.
I love
memories. I love
and of course,
how
we get
grainy.
Old, you make up shit. So that's,
of course.
Then it's like, it's just as good.
Well, that's the problem. The stories become somewhat not true.
Right.
Naturally.
Yeah, yeah, some of it gets embellished, some of it gets lost.
Right.
And some of the ones that you tell a lot change over time, and some of the ones you don't tell lose everything. You know, like if when I saw Hip Hop Mike the other day for the first time in a while, Hip Hop Mike probably has memories of things that I've gone through that I have no recollection anymore.
Yeah.
But he remembers because it was exciting to him. He was like going through it all.
Yeah. Right, right.
Like you know,
like your college days. College days.
It was his college days, right?
But I like how grainy the footage is. Okay, he's got to go.
All right, bye, Dad. Love you.
Okay,
thanks for jumping on.
Great seeing
you. Does he got to talk to Clinton, Bill Clinton?
He's going to call Bill Clinton right now. He's going to call him. All right, bye, Dad.
Okay, see ya.
Listen,
what were you going to say about the footage?
Quality guests on the One Ep is Life
podcast. Well, listen. I got a question. Is there another podcast who's getting my dad?
No way. Unless his phone call he's getting is with academics.
He's like, I gotta go. I'm going on with Jason Lee and BDOT right now.
Bro, the guy who made that film the original footage, I don't think he was a professional filmmaker. He just had a camera.
Who, Cootie?
Yeah, Cootie.
And GK?
And the footage is so grainy. And it's just being on Netflix long like that, man, it was really good. And like the fucking, you know, there's a couple little setups in there, like when he's talking to the guy from Chicago, Doug Infinite, and then they show him diss him. Like, I was just with him earlier. Like, that's a setup, you know? There's a couple setups in there, like, but
Oh, you mean, like, you think that part could have all been out of order?
No. I think it was in order, but I'm like, they emphasized Doug Infinite telling this great story about being with Kanye in the beginning, and then they cut to him dissing him later that day.
And the way it plays out is, from a viewer standpoint, you're like, oh my God, how do they have all this?
Yeah. It's good, man.
You want to, let's continue this conversation on the Patreon. What are your thoughts?
All right. Okay.
Also, I want to play.
I got a couple $10.
I want to talk a little bit.
A couple $10 statements I got to make.
Okay. And I want to play a couple of Doug Infinite records.
Oh, yeah. That's kinda,
I think people don't really know. I think a lot of people didn't know.
But go ahead.
I think a lot of people didn't know who he was probably until that. Right.
I heard his name before, but I didn't. I don't remember him exact 100%. I remember hearing his name.
Well, because you remember. Well, we'll talk about it next. Guys, come on over to Patreon.
Cliffhanger.
And we love you.
Cliffhanger.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com.
Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.